Welcome to this brand new episode of the Marketing Technology Podcast. This podcast is hosted by Mark van Horek and myself, Elias Krum. We're both from Marketing Guys, a MarTech agency based out of the Netherlands. Welcome to this new episode of the Marketing Technology Podcast. Today we have Aaron Merck. He's the founder of PressCloud, PressCloud.co. Welcome, Aaron.
Thanks for having me.
Cool. So it's so cool that we finally have someone here from with a PR background, because we're always talking about marketing and the marketing mix, digital marketing mix. And it seems like we don't, let's say, emphasize too much on PR. So we're delighted to have someone with a PR background and even a PR company here. So please introduce yourself, Aaron, and also highlight some of the stuff that PressCloud does.
Yes. So I started my career as a journalist at a Dutch startup blog, The Post Online. And then I crossed over to what, well, journalists consider the dark side. That will be PR. So journalists, well, they dislike it if you start working for companies instead of finding out the truth about matters. So I worked for several PR agencies. I did government campaigns like Niks 18, the Donor Week. And then I switched to a more B2B agency, did some more corporate PR for companies like Equinix or Manpower Group. I started freelancing about 3-4 years ago, and I work a lot with tech startups. And PR is really a traditional business. It's about making great content and sharing that content with journalists. And I figured, well, how can I make this business more digital? How can I make it more transparent? How can I make it more accessible? I worked with all those tech startups. I figured, well, the answer to these questions must be in technology. So that's why we developed PressCloud. And our mission is, well, to enable companies to handle PR on their own, to take PR in-house. I think that's really valuable because, well, communication should be part of every business process. And also it's a great way of getting your brand out there. It's a great way of boosting your SEO position in terms of branding, in terms of traffic. But it's really not so accessible for a lot of companies because, well, PR agencies can be expensive. Their output isn't always a reason to have a partnership with those agencies. And besides, there's a lack of PR knowledge at companies. So basically, we want to empower companies to handle PR on their own. And what we launched in April is at the peak of the Corona crisis, which is interesting. I can say it really boosted our development of our company, because a lot of companies, well, figured that they still want to use PR to get their brand out there, to respond to the Corona crisis, but they don't have resources anymore to hire a PR agency. That's where we are right now, and around 20 companies right now are using our platform to get their name out there. And I'm glad to say that all of them reached the press and had some nice media clippings. So that's all about PressCloud.
That's an amazing story, Aaron, because you just started at the beginning of the year. You launched the company basically 3 months ago, and you already have 20 customers using the platform. So that must be what's the secret about? What's the secret you have there? What's the secret sauce? What's the secret sauce? I meant to say, yeah. How do you do that?
Well, it's a bit commercial maybe to say this, but I would say that PR really kickstarted our growth. So by securing coverage in, for instance, Emerge and other marketing trade press in the Netherlands, we really managed to get our brand out there. So we positioned ourselves as we positioned PressCloud as the IKEA for PR. So we provide all the relevant info, like the booklet you always receive if you buy an IKEA IKEA product, but also all the hardware you need, so all the tools and all the shelves for your book concept. So we said, well, we want to make PR agencies redundant. We want to disrupt that business. And it really resonated in the press. And therefore, we managed to get some nice publications. And well, that really boosted our traffic. And well, I will say that thanks to a great introduction in the Dutch press, we managed to reach a lot of potential customers.
Nice. So nice. You're actually practicing what you preach.
Yeah, that's
well. Aaron, one important question I have there, because we work for a lot of customers for the digital marketing mix to improve channels, etc., show ROI, whatsoever, all the things that you can imagine in a digital practice. PR doesn't too often come up, but when it comes up, we as an agency usually get the question, could you take care of our PR as well? It's like if it were a little side business that we do. And the thing I keep hearing back from the traditional PR agencies is that it's not something you should consider as a side business. But the other thing we hear back is that it's not just sending out press releases, but it's also about the connections you have with the journalist, like the other side that you were on before you went to the dark side, or I would rather say commercial side of business. But so how do you solve that problem? Because the traditional agencies will all tell you, you need to have connections. We have those connections with the journalist, and otherwise you won't be highlighted, or they won't place your article. So how do you solve that problem, the connection with the journalist?
Yeah, so a PR agency isn't born with a Rolodex of relevant contacts. They still have to build up those contacts themselves. So we enable companies to build up a relationship with the press. How do you do that? By sharing content that is relevant with journalists that might be interested in this content. It's really not so hard to build up a relationship with journalists. It all comes down to realizing that journalists are really a lot like people, and please behave accordingly and treat them like you would treat any other person. So the most made mistake is that people are really pushy when pitching a story, tend to follow up tons of times. You're dependent on the wishes of a journalist. So if he or she isn't inclined to publish your story, that's it. You just have to accept it and move on. And maybe another time you are able to secure coverage in his or her channels. However, a lot of companies that handle PR on their own, that they are really pushy in reaching out to journalists, and therefore they frustrate that relationship. Just so by realizing you can't be too pushy in that content, and by sharing relevant content, you're also able to build up a relationship on your own. And that will be my first and foremost advice. Don't rely on a PR agency per se. That's really something that you want to have in-house, those contacts. That will be the first step of your PR strategy, is to secure those relationships.
It sounds a little bit like you have to consider journalists like if they're like leads or customers. Because if you do with the marketing automation, you try to make the message, and you want to send content and messages as relevant as possible. So you segment your leads and you send the information. Is that a little bit similar also to approach journalists? Instead of doing one message to send to all the journalists, you adjust your message to the various journalists that you have in the database?
Yes, that's exactly the same. So you don't reach out to every customer there is in a market, but you identify specific target audiences. And so it's the same with building up your PR strategy. So you always start from the point, so this is a target audience that writes about technology. So we have to highlight the IT aspect of our solution, or this is an audience that writes about marketing. So we have to highlight our marketing story. So by always keeping in mind the audience of a journalist, you're able to make relevant content and therefore secure coverage. And that really boosts your traffic, your SEO, your branding. And it's one of the ways, well, earned content is, I guess, the most relevant type of content because it's so much more trustworthy. I never watched a YouTube video and thought, whoa, this is a really great advertisement I'm watching. I'm really inclined to buy these products. But if I read an article about a new solution or a problem that someone's trying to solve, well, that might be relevant content. I actually might share this with my Twitter or LinkedIn followers because I think this article really adds value. So yeah, I think earned deserves a better reputation. And that's something we really try to fix. Like the PR industry doesn't have the best PR so far. And that's also something that, we hope to change with
Press Cloud. And Press Cloud is that helps you to get the right message to the right journalist and sending the right content to that right journalist.
Yeah, so we can connect you to over 4,000 journalists in the Netherlands. And we segment them on different categories like marketing or IT or sustainability or movies or whatever. We not only provide context because, that's something that already existed in the market, but we also provide insights. So we try to make you a PR professional yourself, so you don't need an agency anymore. And it's really no rocket science. I figured out how this works, so therefore I think everyone should be able to learn this. So we try to learn you, what is news content? News content can either be informative or inspiring. And if you're talking about informative types of content, there are different types of way of informing the audience. It could be sharing really concrete knowledge, like five tips on how to make your marketing strategy more effective during the corona crisis, let's say. But it also could be more like inspiring, opinionated content. The Dutch government should act more on investing in marketing companies because they help other companies grow, let's say. We teach you what is news, how can you make news, and how can you build up a relationship with the press and really get the best out of the context we secured and can deliver to you.
And that might be the hardest piece because in my experience, when I talk to marketers, company owners, etc., every, let's say, new product is news to them and worth spreading to the rest of the world, whereas a journalist may have a slightly different opinion, thinking, you know, this is not newsworthy. So how do you actually help them to communicate the newsworthy stuff? Because, you know, journalists don't want to write about a new product launch unless there is a newsworthy fact in it. So how do you define or how do you get a customer or user of Press Cloud to define what a newsworthy item is?
So we try to teach everyone that you should start with a problem. So if there's a new product or a new future, what is the problem you're solving? So the content we supply on our platform, so we deliver you an ebook called Everything PR Agencies Don't Want You to Know. That really guides you on PR 101. And the first line on making great PR content is starting with a problem because, there's this Dutch saying, like, good news isn't news at all. And I would say, like, bad news is really, if you open a newspaper or watch news on the TV, really the most news content is about bad news. So talking about a problem, that really makes the message urgent. If you're talking about a problem, then the solution should also be relevant in the story. Because, that's basically the answer to the question So therefore, your company or your solution or your new proposition becomes relevant again. So it really all comes down to sell me the problem. That's the whole catch. And I think every new proposition, every new product, every new future should be developed to solve a problem. Otherwise, it doesn't have a right to exist in the first place, right?
Absolutely.
It seems also a little bit with with the marketing, you have these top of the funnels and middle of the funnels and bottom of the funnels, and top of the funnels awareness, but it's very much on about problem identification. So if you do your the thing right, you have a story on your marketing side as the top of the funnel, as the problem identification, but you have the similar story, got a problem, we've got a solution for it. You use that also to make it newsworthy and for the journalists. So that's like a double-edged sword if you do such an approach.
You could even recycle that content for a larger part and use it for your PR content. Yes.
So talking about funnels, Mark, you know, the thing we always get back if we're talking about funnels is, yeah, everything nice and all, but how is it going to show ROI? What's the bottom line? Show me the numbers. So how is that for PR? Because, you know, a lot of listeners here are marketers. They're not familiar to PR and measurement of ROI on PR efforts. So how do you measure ROI on PR spending?
Yeah, so there are different KPIs you could use to determine the ROI on PR. So the most clear ROI KPI would be to count the number of publications or to determine what would be the audience of those outlets. So we have this partnership with Clipit, and they provide us really in-depth details can show as well. This publication at, let's say, Marketing Tribune is worth €2,000 because they reach around X amount of readers. So there's actually a PR value you can determine. But there are also KPIs you could measure on your own channels. So for instance, after working for 6 or 7 years in PR, I finally did a campaign that I can measure on my own channels. So we track the number of website visitors, the traffic on our own website, and we saw a gigantic peak in traffic. And that really was all about our PR campaign. So because we included an hyperlink in our press release and that got copied on all those trade press outlets, it was really easy for those readers to click and go to pressclub.co. So we even secured around 1,000-2,000 visitors per day, all thanks to the PR campaign. So that's also a KPI. And well, if you go later on in the funnel and really track it precisely, and there should be a lot of technology for that, but you guys are the expert on that. Well, then you could measure maybe directly, like this PR campaign is 2,000 visitors, it's 100 newsletter subscribers, and that's resulting in 10 new clients. And therefore, the cost of acquisition cost was €20 per customer, maybe. So that will be like my holy grail as well. But I'm not there yet, but that's really something that we're, that's somewhere on our roadmap to make a really more precise KPI.
And that's something you could put into your attribution model. So put those mentions in PR on PR websites. You could basically include those in an attribution model within Google Analytics or any attribution software that you're using. It could even, and I'm just looking at Mark here because I'm thinking out loud, but it could even enhance your position in Google, because Google also looks at your authority, right? So if being mentioned by important newspapers, important blogs or whatsoever, and you're referred to or linked to, that could enhance your Google position. So long-term, organic listing could enhance that very much as well. So that there's also a revenue model or ROI model, which you could say, hey, we have our Google position has gone from page 2 to page 1, or maybe from position 8 to position 2 on that specific topic. And now we see this number of visitors coming in through Google, which was basically indirectly a result from my PR campaign.
So actually there are companies that use PR solely for the purpose of boosting their Google position. So this client I worked for, he really got upset if he ended up being, well, the physical newspaper, because he just wanted to use PR for the sake of, getting a better score in Google. So that's really a common technique.
You having a background of a couple of years, maybe almost 10 years in PR, being a journalist, etc. So you must have a lot of experiences with good PR campaigns and also some that turned out to be disastrous. Could you give us some examples of the really good campaigns and the things we should avoid? Maybe you have some nice and juicy examples for us of PR campaigns that went really good and went really, really wrong.
Yeah, so there's just one case I'm really proud of. Schiphol, a Dutch startup that, so if you import goods overseas, that whole process is really non-transparent. There's a lot of paperwork involved. Schiphol solves that by making a more digital solution possible. So you're basically, if you import something overseas via container freight, you're now able to, well, have the same experience as booking a flight on Google Flights. That's their whole proposition. However, we're talking about logistics, we're talking about sea freight, talking about containers, and we're talking about making that business more, well, digital proof. That's not really something the national press will talk about. It's not so sexy as, well, let's say, I also did PR for the Inner Circle, the Dutch dating app. That's really a sexy subject, like dating, meeting singles. That's really something press is inclined to write about. So that isn't as challenging as talking about this, as talking about the business of Schiphol. However, we managed to get some great publications in like the Dutch Financial Times, NRC. They even got listed as one of the 100 hottest startups in Europe by Wired. Was called Startup of the Year by Sprout Magazine. And it was, the PR campaign really involved talking about the problem they solve. It's really, I can't stress this enough, by focusing on the problem Dutch SMEs are facing. So non-transparent costs, a not transparent process, and therefore, well, the Netherlands really is a country that was built on trading and logistics. So that really resonates if we say, well, there's a problem in this whole processing our that might even be endangering the growth of the Dutch economy. So by focusing on that problem, we managed to get some great coverage. That's really a case I can't talk about enough because it really shows that, well, by focusing on the problem, you can create news value for your company. So we actually wrote a blog about this on our blog, on our PR Academy at PressCloud.co. In that blog, I shared a whole PR strategy we made for Schiphol.
Put that in the show notes. So we'll make a mention of it and put the link to your blog in the show notes, so listeners will know where to find it and find all about how you basically did this amazing story for this basically small company and had amazing results for them. Thanks for sharing that story.
Thanks.
Do you have also one that we should not hear? Let's say the disaster version.
Well, disaster. Well, it's not so extreme, but of course, once in a while, you end up managing a PR campaign that doesn't resonate with the first attempt. So you have to retry and reshape your message. So it's a bit like pivoting or changing your strategy. It's quite funny, actually. I launched Press Cloud in May. We started pitching end of April. And the first message we made was all about that entrepreneurs and marketeers lack the tools for handling PR on their own. So that was our message to launch Press Cloud. However, that message didn't resonate because it was too commercial. And then we ended up making a new message. So we rewrote the press release. And we said, well, we want to disrupt the PR agency industry. We want to make those agencies redundant. And well, that message really resonated. So it could also be because, well, for the first time, I'm launching my own product and not a startup that I'm helping as an outside consultant. But actually, like the launch of Press Cloud really took me two attempts to secure coverage, and that could also be a message that I want to stress in this interview. Sometimes you just have to change the headline of your press release or the problem / solution message of your press release. So it's not a bad thing to pivot once in a while or to change your messaging or give it another go. Really, even after all those years of experience, knowing my product from A to C, I still have to give it another go to secure the coverage.
It really seems like similar with marketing. You know, you have to test the whole time. So
and adjust.
Yeah, and adjust, optimize. And so I want to go back to, because that was one of the things that really triggered me, and that was the IKEA of PR. And your main focus now, of course, is, and that was something that resonated, because you just said that the first time you just said it in a more commercial, and the second time you said we are the disruptors. You do not need such a big PR agency. And my impression always, and that was also because of the PR agencies and so, is, gosh, that's only for the big guys. IKEA has also their mission to make furniture available for every wallet, every budget. Is that also, so IKEA is simple, but it's also affordable. Is that also that second part? That's also what you mean being the IKEA of PR. So smaller companies can also do PR. Is that also the intention?
Yeah, I couldn't have said it better. That's exactly our purpose. So usually when you hire a PR agency, fees will be around 2 or 5 or 10,000 euros per month per campaign. And you're talking about bigger SMEs or corporate organizations that can afford those fees, basically. However, we offer services for around 150 euros per month. Or if you go all out, you end up with a monthly retainer of 450 euros. So anyway, you save around 80 or 90% of your cost on PR. And I've seen how effective PR is for growing companies, for smaller companies, for startups, for SMEs. It really is a way to get your brand out there, to grow really quick, to reach new customers, to claim your thought leadership position. However, it's not so accessible because of the high cost that PR agencies charge. And well, I get it. They really have nice offices. You get great coffee, and a lot of friendly people are working there. I work there myself, I know all the costs they should make on having all those legacy assets, like a real physique agency. However, I think we can solve a lot of those problems with technology.
Okay. Yeah, I can fully agree. One other question I had, just referring back to some stuff you said earlier in the interview. You have a couple of thousand journalists in there. Mm-hmm. Dutch journalists. For the international listeners, PressCloud is only available in the Netherlands yet, so we'll maybe come to that later, what your international plans might be. But coming back to those journalists, do you online consider bloggers also to be journalists? Or because, you know, bloggers could also be, also need like this PR approach. When you're selling a product online, which you'd like to have, let's say, pointed out, written about by in certain blogs, are those bloggers also in that database?
Influencers?
You are bloggers or influencers or, yeah.
Yeah, so we don't include influencers because that's really is a different trait. There are a lot of other platforms that well can show you which influencers are relevant. We really only focus on the Dutch journalist press. However, a lot of media nowadays is well online, so you could consider those media blogs as well. However, we don't include influencers because well, mostly you end up paying for a partnership with an influencer. And we specialize in securing free publicity via independent news media. So that's our niche. And I think the power also is in that focus.
Yeah. Well, okay, that's clear.
Just to be very clear on this, because if we're talking about money, it's free publicity. So the costs involved with the PR and the press cloud is the fee that you pay Press Cloud.
Yeah, the and, about 150 to start with. Yeah.
And of course all the effort that you have to do to get write the story or whatever. Because if you don't write it yourself, you need a copywriter or a PR writer or a journalist. But there are no other costs. Am I correct?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's the whole upside on PR. So
your existence. Big...
yeah. No, just to be clear, no hidden fees and all that kind of stuff, you know. So, what I also find very interesting is that, and maybe that's because I also did that, so that you consider as PR and communications as one silo, and you got marketing on the other side as a separate silo. But listening to this story, I am very much thrilled and inspired to merge these two and not to see them as separate islands. How do you see it? Do you, the situation that I just sketched, is that something that's more common that you hear and feel that a lot of companies see the PR as a completely separate thing and then their marketing and commercial activities as another thing? Or do you see that there is much more a merge going on, that these two strategies, these two sectors are mingling, are going into a fusion? Is that something mm-hmm. that's like a trend now?
I think a lot of experts are advocating that there shouldn't be any more silos whatsoever in the whole sales marketing department. And I think that's really a great idea. So I would also consider marketing, PR, communications as one team. However, I even want to go a step further. So if we think back of the whole ING debacle last year, so there was Rolf Hamers, the CEO of the ING Bank, Dutch Bank, mm-hmm. Received a bonus of 100% of his year salary. However, the bank just got a fine of 800 million euros because they didn't manage to detect fraud. That was the biggest fine a Dutch bank received so far. So in the same year, while you're getting the biggest fine in the Dutch history of banking, you're rewarding your CEO with a 100% bonus. I would say if you make communication or PR, or to make it super concrete, the look of, the outside look, how does this look to the rest of the world? If you make that part of every process in your organization, things will be so much more effective. It could be meaning that your sales team is talking with a customer and they are talking about a new trend or development in their industry, And he knows, well, this could be great PR content, but also, well, it could save your company from ending up in a reputation crisis because, well, you know, if we are going through such a hard time as a bank, we shouldn't reward our CEO with a big bonus. So I'm advocating that communication and PR should be more important, should be a bigger part of every process, should be getting access to, well, the C-suite if you're talking about corporations. But it's really something that should be higher on everyone's agenda. And the whole problem is, well, why isn't it? Because, well, the whole communication sector did their best by using a lot of buzzwords and making it so really hard to understand what we're talking about. So they lost any sense of the business they're working on, became an island on their own in those companies. So that's really something communication teams and PR teams and should solve in the coming years to make more companies more effective. Does that make sense?
Yes, definitely. I agree on that part, because by their efforts to make their business stand out, they actually set themselves apart, whilst the customer-centric part, what we always talk with the marketing and the sales, the whole PR part is part of that. And it's all about how are you going to communicate your customer-centric message. And as you know, that the whole communication has a very large impact on the reputation of your organization, it should be part of the DNA of a company instead of that it's being set apart. So yes, I think what you just said, I can agree on that. That was my feeling too. So
I was curious to hear, you know, I pointed it out in the question before, but do you have any international plans? Because we have a lot of international listeners. About 75% are non-Dutch listeners. So the 25% that are Dutch, you know, we'll find you on pressclad.co and we'll be able to register for your service or try it out. You know, that's something they could do. But what if you are from any other country and you would like to have a service like this? Do you have plans there?
Yes, we do. So we just launched in the Netherlands in April. And well, we are planning to go to new markets. So I would say Europe is a logical first step. And well, in maybe some years, the USA will be great. But we plan on launching in Belgium as well by the end of the year. And really, because a lot of our clients are accessing more than one market, we try to grow with those companies into more markets and try to be of service of them. So that's definitely something on the roadmap, but I will say in the coming years, definitely.
Okay, so for a full disclaimer, you know, we don't have any stock or whatsoever in your company, but are there any competitors or whatsoever that you could mention? Like, if when I'm in the US now and I don't want to wait for you for next year or whatsoever, but I do want to have, like, would companies like Presley or something, would those be similar to yours, or do you have like a truly unique service that you're the only one in the world doing this here?
Of course, I'm unique.
Absolutely, absolutely. I fully agree, Aaron. But you know, it's like so do Americans think they're unique. So you know what I'm saying.
I think there are, I'm not really known, I don't know much about the American market, but I do know that there are other companies that can provide you with contacts for different markets. I hope Google knows better, I would say. However, a press list alone isn't the complete solution. I would always consider finding out more about PR and having a press list. So the combination of knowledge or contents and contacts, that will be key. And I haven't seen that solution earlier. So that's why we found Press Cloud. But well, for the American market, for instance, I wouldn't know a service that is also affordable and has all the relevant context. So, but if we could, I could look it up and add it to the show notes, maybe.
I'll probably add to the show notes is like a website like Presley that does not completely what you do. It does that automation part, but it doesn't give you the, I think, or at least I found out on their website is that they only will automate. So they'll help you to reach out, et cetera, all the stuff that you do, but then it doesn't have that list of journalists either. So, we'll just put that in, and we'll put a link to your profile and your contact data as well. So should people want to know more about you and the service, et cetera, so they can just reach out to you.
Yeah, and would you also be open for collaboration with, because what I was thinking about, the big guys, I don't think that they will really like you, but I can imagine that there are smaller PR agencies that are maybe much more flexible and much more in your line of vision, but they don't have the technology, that they might say, well, if I could hook up with Aaron and with Press Cloud, we could use the technology of Press Cloud, but we've got for Slovenia or Portugal or Canada, we've got a bunch of journalists in Ireland. One way or another, could we hook up? Is that something that you will be open for? Well, maybe somebody's listening.
That might be a way of growing into new markets.
Yes. Yes.
Never thought of it. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, feel free, if you're listening to the podcast and thinking, and you own a market and you have contacts to journalists, feel free to reach out to Aaron and see if there is a corporation possible.
Yeah, because I just listened to a podcast of the B2B Growth Show, James Carberry and Logan Niles, and there was a conversation. I forgot about his name, but anyhow, he had grown very big, not because it was this guy had a meetup thing, and he started that just very locally, and people said, oh, this is interesting, can I also do this? And in within 5 years' time, he had grown from, well, let's say for $100,000 revenue, I think it was now about 50 million or something like that. And how did he grow? Because he had the idea and he included others. He was open for collaboration, and that way he could, because you got a very good idea. You got the platform. A lot of them don't have that platform, but you don't have the list of journalists in a certain country, and it will take some time. You're going now to Belgium. But if people listen to it, and I can imagine that the smaller PR agencies that love the big ones just like you do, that you've got like a click on that part.
That might be a solution. But also, we're really on the lookout also for partnership with a content management system. So if you're already helping companies handle their content or distributing their content over different social media channels, PR is just a way of distributing your content. So that might also be a marketing technology company vertical that could be relevant for, well, a potential partnership. So if I can be so upfront, that would also be a channel that we are interested in discussing.
So absolutely.
Yeah.
Guys, you know, if you're listening and you're in some kind of a MarTech service or a CMS even, and you think, you know, we could hook up, we're serving customers in their content or whatsoever, feel free to reach out to Aaron. I'll put everything in the show notes, how to contact Aaron. And Aaron, thanks again for being on the show. It was an honor having you here, and we're looking forward to have you back in the
probably a couple of months or maybe towards the end of the year to hear how your growth went, you know, how you, your first year has been, etc. So thank you very much for being on the Marketing Technology Podcast.
Yes, thank you very much.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the Marketing Technology Podcast. If you enjoyed this podcast, please leave us a review on your favorite podcast platform or iTunes. Also, if you want to be a guest or know someone that should be a guest to our show, shoot me an email on e.crum@marketingguys.nl. Thank you for listening.